that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And that plan and a purpose, O God, you formulated from the foundations of the world. You knew us, O God, even before our unformed substance, Father. We can't comprehend that statement, Lord. But Lord, it sounds awesome, Father. Your word says that your thoughts over our lives are vast. And so, Father God, we pray that each one of us, O God, will come to know you, Father, in a personal intimacy, Father. That, Lord, we will understand that the Christian faith is not a religion, Father. It is a walk in an intimacy with you. It's the reality of realizing life in you and by you and through you and for you. So that, Lord, that life will remain. It will grow. It will keep on developing, O God. Even though our physical bodies will pass away, Lord, you mean to manifest in our inward parts a reality that will continually grow, a reality that will continually be built in a radiance, O God, of your great love, of the great manifestation of the truth, Father, that sets us free. So, Father God, today, as we speak, O Lord, of a personal time with you, Lord, of developing a walk with you in a very personal intimacy, we pray that you will open our hearts and enable us to understand that you mean for us to know you in a way, O God, we may not have fully comprehended as yet, Lord. It is only as we choose to spend time with you, as we choose to walk with you, as we choose to live through you, that we will come to discover, O God, what it is to be alive to you, Father. What it is to truly draw from you and be able to express, O God, the reality of life that you mean to build and express as a living epistle and a testament through our lives. So, Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray that this time will be a time that will open, O God, our lives to a new walk in you. So bless this time, Father. Bless every word that comes forth, O God. And let the words, O God, go forth and be built in our lives and manifest, O God, in a lifestyle that will enable us to know you and love you and live you, Father. We ask this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about your personal time with the Lord. And fundamentally, your personal time with the Lord must involve the Word of God. It must involve worship, and it must involve prayer. Those are the fundamental building blocks on which you build a walk with God. Firstly, you must build your walk with God through the Word of God. For the simple reason is that God doesn't think like you and me. Unless you read His Word, you're not going to be able to fathom how He thinks and what He plans for your life. You cannot think that you can walk with God out of common sense. You cannot walk with God out of common sense. You can only walk with God through what His Word says. If you don't appreciate what His Word says, you will not be able to walk with God. So, the Word of God is compulsory to your Christian growth. It is compulsory if you seriously mean to come alive to God. All right? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. God tells us clearly, unambiguously, the difference between His thoughts and our thoughts. Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the principal problems we find in the world today is that we have projected our thoughts and tried to decipher who God is through our thoughts. It has resulted in all kinds of religions. It has resulted in all kinds of philosophies. But when it's ultimately measured, right, those philosophies and those religions mean nothing, because if you don't know God, you have nothing. If you don't know God, you have nothing to build upon. All right? So God tells us that the reason why this book has been given to you is so that you will read it and by the Holy Spirit receive the thoughts of God. And God's thoughts are infinitely higher than your thoughts and my thoughts. Infinitely higher than your thoughts and my thoughts. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18, verse 19. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he says that God's gospel is fundamentally a mystery. And therefore, if you are going to open this mystery to your life, then you have to sit at the feet of God and be taught by God. Many people ask the question, is God is real? Is God real? Can you feel Him? Can you touch Him? Can you see Him? The answer is yes. Absolutely. You can see Him, you can touch Him, you can feel Him, you can live Him. And you can see the evidence of God come through in your life. You can see the evidence of God manifested in your nature and your character. You can see the evidence of God touch your every pathway. But you have to be taught by Him in order to be able to realize that. If you think that you can figure it out in yourself, then you're never going to find out who God is. It has to be something that you have to receive from Him. God has to reveal Himself to you. And God reveals Himself to you in your own heart. And this is the fundamental basis on which your quiet time with the Lord is to be built. So you have to spend that time just you and the Lord with no other intermediaries except the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to spend that time with the Lord, and you have to hear His word, understand His word, seek after His word. You have to make that personal time. In everything that you're going to be in your life, whether you become a great teacher of the word or expounder of the word, you become a great prophet, whatever it is, everything that you do is going to be built out of that personal time. The day you lose touch with that personal time with God, you are walking into the wrong place. You're walking away from the one source of life, which is God Himself. So it's very important, it is compulsory for you to develop that time with God. No ministry, no pastor, no prophet, no apostle, no angel can be a substitute for your time with God. And you must understand that. If you don't have a personal time with God, you are not going to come alive to God. You're going to be someone who just goes, lives a life like a yo-yo. Today you're on a high, tomorrow you're on a low, and you will keep on living your life like that. But if you mean for something to be built in your life, then it has to come out of that personal quiet time that you have with the Lord. And you have to make the time. You have to make the time and ask God to enable you to focus, enable you to concentrate, enable you to hear, enable you to receive, enable you to perceive, enable you to know, enable you to understand. Everything you have to ask from God. We have learned how to live our lives in our own intelligence. We have learned how to live our lives independent of God. And that spirit of independence is the fruit of what is called the tree of good and evil. We discern things based on what we see and what we perceive and what we understand, without really understanding that we really know nothing. We really know nothing for the simple reason that what we know cannot be sustained over time. What we have cannot be sustained over time. It can be sustained 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but ultimately somewhere along the line it will fail. That's one of the essential and fundamental lessons of life. So in order to rise above that, you have to get into what is called the abiding. And the abiding is what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is not talking to you about everyday things, like buying a hamburger and eating it. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's tangible. Yes, it's experiential. Yes, you can feel it. You can taste it. You can throw up over it. Right? But that hamburger is only real for a moment in time. You cannot build anything out of that hamburger. Sometimes we invest our life in a big hamburger. It takes 10 years to eat the hamburger. But when it's finished, it's finished. Right? So we think that if I go and get 9 degrees after my name, you know, I will have this big hamburger that will last forever. It won't last forever. You will still become irrelevant. It's only a question of time. All that we learn, all that we discern, all that we understand passes away. It loses its relevance over time. That's a fact of human life. So if you want to rise above that which is transitory, right? You know, I tried looking through a book on physics several years ago, and I found that all the stuff that I had learned when I was in school was no longer in the textbook. And I had learned so hard to get my distinction in physics. The irony was, it was no longer in the textbook. It had passed on. So what was all that learning for? Now don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to tell you not to learn. Right? But you must understand the difference between what is based on human systems and what is based on the Word of God. We need to function within the constraints of the human system, because we need to put bread on the table. But we must understand that those human systems will keep on changing. And for us really to grow, we need something that is tangible and something that lasts forever. And the only thing that lasts forever is the Word of God. So let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 23-25. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Word of God. Now the Word of God is living and it's abiding. Now by definition, the word living means it is also growing. All right? So if you want to get into something that lives and grows and abides, then it is the Word of God. For all fresh flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. The word of the Lord abides forever. And you have to get into this Word of God. You have to take hold of it for yourself. It is very fundamental to your Christian growth process, to your growth process as a human being, that you get into this Word of God and realize a reality that is abiding and it is tangible. You can know the things that remain forever. That while the world around you may shake, something within you will keep you going, keep you knowing that there is a future for you, even if you're 85 years old, even if you are dying of cancer at the age of 21. Now that's what the Word of God can do for you. It can manifest in you the abiding. The reason why it is manifesting in you the abiding is because it is of God. It brings into you something of God and it manifests it inside of you. And anything of God grows inside of you. So you are responsible to find the time each and every day to spend time in the Word of God so that you can receive through the Word of God what you don't have in yourself. Never make the foolish mistake of just thinking that if you work hard and if you had enough money in the bank, it will guarantee you life. Some of the richest people in the world are the most miserable people you will meet. They may have a lot of money in the bank, but there is a zero deposit in their heart. Maybe even a massive negative deposit in their hearts. They've got nothing to give. They're bankrupt. Totally and irrevocably bankrupt. Now, if you want to have something to give in your life, then you need to have the deposit of the word. So here this verse says, Peter says, the first thing in which you must understand the word of God comes to you is at the moment in which you are born again. When the moment you are born again, you have come alive to the word of God. And that's the beginning of you receiving and realizing the living and abiding word of God. And that word is meant to be built inside of you. Everything that you work for in the world ultimately stays outside of you. It will pass away, sometimes because it in itself has a finite life, or it will pass away because you yourself live a finite life. It will also pass away because you grow out of those things. You cannot be wearing long hair and having earrings through your ears or through your nose or whatever it is that people use these things for these days, right? And think that you're going to live like that forever. It doesn't last. It may be a fad, it may make you belong somewhere for a time and a season, but ultimately those kind of things pass away. Some of us in our lives have learned lessons from that, because we have seen things we have spent a lot of time psyching ourselves up over. And then seeing those things just pass out of our lives, and suddenly we find ourselves realizing that 10 years of your life just passed away and you cannot remember anything of it. You don't have anything of it because it just passed away. You just lived in a fad. You lived in a make-believe world. But the Word of God is different. The Word of God has been planted inside of you. I think almost all of you here are born again. You have the Word of God planted in your heart. And the personal time that you have with God is to build on that deposit, so that that deposit will grow and you will discover a life that the world does not know. Because one of the titles for the Word of God is that it is the Word of life. And life is in the living. It is not in the theology. It is in the actual living. All right? So the Word of God has the potential of being living and abiding. It also has the potentials of being imperishable. Right? And so the writer, in this case Peter, says that he compares that with all flesh. All that is of the flesh of man is like grass. It will pass away. Right? All its glory is like the flower of the grass. It just is there for a moment and it looks beautiful for a moment. Right? That's one of the reasons why God keeps us growing old, so that we will understand that. Right? That the glory of our heydays, as you grow older, right, it loses its relevance. Some people, because they don't have the Word of God, they end up trying to live their whole life based on their past. Why? Because there's nothing in the present. Right? Their present is bankrupt and they try and live on the glories of the past, but it's gone. There's nothing you can do to go and bring it back. No matter who you are, whether you are the richest man in the world or whether you have, right, 10 fleets of companies or groups of companies all over the blooming place, right, you still can't go back and reconstruct those things that have passed out of your life. Right? So you need to understand this, right? It's very fundamental, and you need to know it while you're young so that you can make some right decisions while you're young. Right, so that you can really have a life that is fruitful and a blessing. Right? So the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which is preached to you. Alright, now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Now why should we read the word of God? Why should we understand it? Why should we digest it? Why should we think about it? Why should we learn how to develop our thought patterns through the word of God? It is because the Word of God is supernatural. Right? It is supernatural. It brings the supernatural that is inside of God into your life. All right, so let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. This is Paul talking to Timothy, even as he comes to the time that is the end of his ministry. Right? For example, in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the cause, I have kept the faith." Right? "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." What is Paul saying here? My life in the natural is passing away, but I know that I have certain things in God. Now he knows and he knows and he knows. He's not saying I may have something. He says, I have something. So there is an evidence of what he has in God that is within him. And he's not afraid to die. Right? And so, from that perspective, now as we turn back to chapter 3 in verse 15 and 16, he's passing something on to his young protege, Timothy. Right? And this is what he says. "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The first thing he tells you is that the Word of God is able to give you something that you don't have. And then in verse 16 he says, "All scripture is inspired by God." All scripture is God-breathed. Now how did God create man? He took a piece of clay, right? Right? And he just breathed into it. It became a living soul. Right? Obviously he shaped that clay. But he breathed into it. Now God does that same process through us. Right? On a basis of line upon line, precept upon precept. Are you listening? As you receive every line in the Word of God, God is going to bring into you something line upon line, precept upon precept. As that line is laid into you, the breath of God comes alive in it and you grow. That's how God is using the Word of God. He's no longer doing it as if he did it in Adam's day, just forming a piece of clay and breathing into it. But now he does it through the Word. And he does it in consonance with your free will. What you don't listen to and what you refuse to understand or what you refuse to spend time with will just pass you by. So when you deal with the Word of God, you are dealing with the very fundamental basis on which, do you want to bless yourself or do you want to just curse yourself? How you listen to the Word of God is how you will bless yourself. And how you fail to listen to the Word of God is how you will curse yourself. Or you will deny yourself of the potential blessings that are in the Word of God. All right, so all scripture is inspired of God. It is breathed of God. And you and I are given the challenge of understanding what the Word of God is saying. Now that's why we need to spend time with God on a person-to-person basis. Right? There is a place for where we can come and teach you the Word of God, like in this place. But you cannot live by just doing this. Coming here on a Sunday and hearing an hour and a half of preaching. There is no substitute for you sitting in your own little home and hearing God for yourself. Listening to the Word of God for yourself. That personal time you have to have with the Lord. Okay? So all Word is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. Right? We all need to be taught. Right? In the modern world that we live in, if you fail to stop learning, you're finished as a professional. Correct? Technology is changing so fast. Right? That if we stop learning, you will die. I mean, you will become irrelevant. You will become out of date. The beauty of the Word of God is that it keeps on building on itself. When God teaches, it doesn't teach you something that is going to pass away tomorrow morning. So all of us have this fundamental choice. You know, we spend many years chasing after degrees of all kinds of forms. We spend a lot of hard work, we burn the midnight oil going after stuff that will just give us dollars in the pocket. It has its part to play. You need something in order to be able to put bucks on in your pocket so that you can put bread on the table, support your family, and do what is necessary. Right? But when it comes to doing things like having gold taps in your house and having chandeliers that cost $500,000 in your house, that involves a choice. Do you really need that? Alright? Okay? Because yes, you can go out and work and work and work and work so that you can have a bigger chandelier than the guy next door. Right? And you can live your whole life competing with that bloke. One day he will die and you will follow soon after. Right? And there will be no place in your coffin to put all those chandeliers. Right? There will be no place in the coffin to put all those pieces of paper you gathered all of your life, doing all the big work that you used to do. So don't get me wrong, you need to understand that the things that are of the transitory have a place in our lives. But we have to set boundaries and limits on that. Okay? But the things of God are of the abiding. When the Word of God teaches you, it teaches you in the abiding. Nothing is lost from what you learned 10 years ago from the Scriptures. It will still be relevant to you today. It will still be relevant to you a million years from today. What was planted as a foundation 10 years ago will be relevant to you, to all that is built in 100 million years from today. So if you and I have even a little bit of common sense should tell you should spend some time in the Word of God. As you begin to taste and see the wonder of God as He reveals Himself to you through the Word, then you will find that you will have the desire to spend more and more time with the Word of God. It's a growing process. Now, you can't cook it up. If all you can do is 10 minutes, then start with 10 minutes. But if you can taste the Lord in that 10 minutes of reading the Word of God, you will find that one day you will spend an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, or many more hours. Right? The Bible says there is a reality of the Word of God where you tremble in awe at God's Word, right? Keep your finger on Timothy chapter 3, and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Now why does someone tremble at God's word? Simply because God has come alive to him through that word. He has seen God through that word. He has seen God through that word, not just simply in terms an experience. But he's seen God through the things that he has seen in his life. Has he seen God perform that word in his life? He has seen the practical reality of God manifesting himself. Not just in a spiritual experience, but in a whole lifestyle. And he has come to tremble in awe at the word. Now that is something you have to grow into. And you cannot grow into that unless you spend that personal time with the Lord so that you can really absorb God's word in your heart. Alright? So all scripture, let's go back to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So all scripture is inspired of God. And all scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof. The word of God will reprove you. It will tell you what's wrong with you. And all of us need reproof so that we can grow. If you cannot accept a reproof, then you are a kid. If you are a responsible person, and if you are going to amount to anything in your life, then one of the fundamental things that you and I have to learn is to take and accept reproof. We all need reproof. Just as we would correct our own children, We must understand that compared to God, we are still kids. We will always be kids for that matter. Right? And we all need that reproof. So maturity would tell you, I need the correction. There's nothing to run away from the correction. If God visits you with a rod, it's only because that's the only way He could get your attention. Right? But if you spent that time with the Lord, you may receive, you may forego a lot of the cane. Right? And just like you talk to your son and try to reason out with him, it's only when he does not listen that you visit him with the cane. Right? To try and give some credibility to your word, since he doesn't seem to listen very well. Right? Okay. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, learning how to do the right thing. Learning how to do the right thing. And that's a lesson that never changes. That's a lesson that you can always learn forever and forever. Right? Learning in righteousness. Right? To do the right thing. Praise the Lord. And we all need to learn how to do the right thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Okay. Verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate. Right? Every one of us sitting here is a man of God, whether you're male or you're female. A man who belongs to God. God has a purpose for your life. And God has an ambition over your life that is far greater than you and I have the collective intelligence to understand. And God wants you and me to know that. All right? Praise the Lord. It's all right. Let the child make noise. What else does she know? Just leave her there. Right. She's fine. Right. So take heed to what God is saying. Right? You are a man of God. Do you want to be that? That's a decision you have to make. And that's fundamental to why you should read the scriptures. If you want to be a man of God, the word of God has to make you a man of God. Because you and I don't know anything about being men of God. You have to be taught that. God has got to use that word to fashion and form a sense of belonging to God. A sense of having a destiny in God. You can't cook it up out of your own experience. It has to be laid into you by the word of God. So through the word of God, God is trying to give you something. That's fundamental. Why do you read the word of God? Because I have to receive something that God has for me. And when I receive something that God has for me, that something is going to be worked into me to enable me to realize what God wants to give me. And then God wants me to put that into practice so that I can check it out and verify it in my life. So the psalmist writes, Thy word, O God, is tested. If it's not tested, it doesn't mean anything. And the testing is in the living. All right? So you are a man of God. And to become a man of God, you have to receive God's word. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, not some good works, every good work. Everything that is going to make you a functioning human being the way God wants you to function is in the Word of God. It doesn't come from a supernatural experience. It has to come out of the Word of God. The Word of God is abiding. Your experience with God is time denominated. Don't get me wrong, the experience has its place. The experience is there to reinforce what the Word of God tells you. But the experience is not a substitute for the Word of God. And so you have to treat the Word of God very carefully. You have to listen to what the Word of God is saying and not examine the Word of God from your own intelligence. All right? And that's very fundamental. Right? Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it. So you have to hear it and understand it. You have to read it, pray it, until you understand it. Sometimes understanding comes instantly. Sometimes understanding comes 10 years from the time you asked the question. But God knows what He's doing. But you have to hear it and you have to understand it. Mark chapter 4 verse 20 says, you've got to accept it, hear it and accept it. The word of God is not before you for debate. So when you spend that quiet time with the Lord, the intent of that quiet time is to receive from God. Hear, understand, accept. Luke chapter 8 verse 15 says that you have to hold fast to that word in a good and honest heart and persevere with it in your life. So you cannot divorce the word of God from your life. The life is where you prove the word of God. By holding it fast in a good and honest heart and persevering with it. And you will see the word of God bear fruit. Praise the Lord. So spend that time with the Lord. Now there are many aids to spending your time with the Lord. I brought some that I used to use in my early days with the Lord. Someone who has been a tremendous blessing to my life. A person called Selwyn Hughes. He's a Welshman. And he writes this daily reading called Every Day with Jesus. And I like this Every Day with Jesus because it has got so much of scripture in it. He writes a daily reading that is very short, very general. He has a particular scripture reference, but he's got so much of further study notes here, right? Of scripture that you can read, all right? And I like it because he writes every month's writings with a particular topic in hand, in mind. For instance, in this book, he's talking about his life convictions. What were the most convicting things in his life that God addressed? This one talks about the character of God. Right? This one talks about the topic called joy. So if you need joy, you need to read these things. Now, these things never go out of date. Why they don't go out of date? Simply because it is a means by which the word of God is presented to you. And I've brought these things so that you can take them home. One family, one copy, please. Right? So that, you know, you can see it through. I know you can take it and you can read it. It will help you grow. Spend the time to read it. Spend the time to read it. Not just to read it because the pastor said read it, but understand it, accept it. Never argue with the word of God. If God says something in Luke and he says something slightly different in Matthew, there are reasons for it. Luke listened to the Spirit in one sense. Matthew listened to the Spirit in a different sense. When you put the two things together, you get a broader picture. You get a bigger picture. So many people spend time looking at contradictions in the Bible. I put it to you that sometimes God puts those contradictions so that you can stumble over it. Because I think anybody who reads the word of God will understand that this is word that you cannot write. No human being writes those kind of words. Just as some people stumble over what version of the Bible to read, just put those versions together and you will see a better picture of it. But learn and understand what God is saying. Take that time to receive from Him. Don't waste time thinking that you're a scholar because you can question the scriptures. Only a donkey questions the scriptures. And they may have many PhDs after their name, but nonetheless, they are PhD donkeys, that's all. So when the word of God, Jesus Christ, tells us, you hear the word of God, you understand it, you accept it, and there's no ifs and buts about that. Because if you want to be taught by God, that is an absolute prerequisite. If you break that, God will never speak to you. And that's why there are so many Christian leaders who don't know God, although they are very educated. All they know is what their mind tells them. And when you put that word that they think they know, put it into practice, it doesn't do anything. Doesn't change anybody's life, doesn't heal anybody, doesn't deliver anybody, doesn't give anybody a breakthrough in their lives, because it has got no meaning to them. Why? Because it's entirely self-denominated. It's a deception. It is a thought process that poses as the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. It is the gospel according to some goat. It's very important that you understand that. Because there is a difference between a lamb and a goat. I didn't say that, Jesus said that. The goat will not go into the kingdom of God. Because a goat does its own thing. Although it's a goat, it thinks it knows something. A lamb understands that it is a lamb. It needs protection. It needs provision. It needs clothing. It needs direction. It needs to be led. So that has to be very fundamental. That's why you read the Word of God, because you need direction. So you know, in the hustle and bustle of our modern day living, if you have got no time for the Word of God, what you are saying is that I can run this life without God. Well, you will find out in due time what that amounts to. Right? So there are a whole bunch of parents who, you know, run through their lives just doing everything for their children, and 17 years old they find they have raised a brat. Why? Because the Word of God was never addressed in that kid's life. You thought that your common sense would bring up the child. Well, now you have the product of your common sense. The evidence, lo and behold. Check it out. So when the kid turns around and tells you you're a fool, understand why he's telling you you're a fool. So don't make foolish mistakes out of your life. Because there will always be a day of reckoning. That's the lessons of life that we learn. You see, you need to spend that time, and I know there are several people here who don't spend that time with the Lord. You're so busy. You've got important jobs. The irony is, even people who don't have important jobs also don't have time. You see, the time you spend with God is the primer for the day. If you want to see that day being concluded successfully, you have to spend that time with the Lord. There are no substitutes for that. You need it. God doesn't need it. You need it. I need it. Right? Praise the Lord. So you need to receive the thoughts of God. The next aspect of your personal time with God is the time of prayer. Prayer is when you address the reality of God. And the first part of prayer is always worship. Glorify God. He must be God to you before you can talk to Him about anything else. So the first introduction to prayer is always worship God. Exalt Him. Right? If you can sing, you can sing. If you don't want to sing, that's fine. You can exalt God with words. And it's a skill, being able to exalt God. And the more you can exalt God and the more you mean it, the higher you will stand before God. Automatically. You don't have to compete with anybody. Everything depends on this reality of worship. When a human being worships God, it is in that point of worship that he is saying, "This is my God. This is how I see you. This is how I acknowledge you. This is how I want you to be in my life, my God. You know everything, and I know nothing. God addressed that in my life several years ago when I was writing something, and God suddenly, I was writing something on my PC, writing one of my books, and God said, "My son, how much do you know?" And I said, "Oh my, well, Lord, if I told you I don't know anything, that will not be quite correct, because, you know, I've spent a long time educating myself." So the Lord asked me, "How much do you know?" I said, "Lord, I know a little." So the Lord said, "Have you seen a mustard seed?" So he said, "If you can't do a simple thing like this, what do you know?" You know what God was saying? If you really know something, and what you know cannot be sustained, what the heck do you know? Butulda. Right? If you say you know something, it must be able to stand the test of time, isn't it? If it does not sustain anything, nothing can live off it, what on earth do you know? What was God trying to make a distinguishment of? The knowledge that stands in God and the knowledge that stands by man. All of man's knowledge is like that. Oh yes, we can put up nice things and do all those things. It's not sustainable. We can set up organizations and we can write the rules. It's not sustainable over time. So which corporation has stood for 1,000 years? Yeah? It is not sustainable. Yeah? But the kingdom of God is sustainable. It is sustainable because it is sustained by God, and it's revitalized by God, and it belongs to Him. It is entirely God-breathed. It is a product of His Word. Right? So when we pray, we need to worship God. Worship is the basis of everything you're going to ask God for. If you don't acknowledge Him as God, there is no basis for you to address Him as God. He's your Father, He's your Savior, right? He's your Redeemer, and He's your Helper. All prayer is addressed to God the Father, because all authority and power is sourced in Him. All things are addressed in the name of Jesus, because He is the Word, and we use the Word to express something before God. And everything that is going to have meaning in God has to be manifested by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the person who makes the things of God alive to you. So you always pray to the Father in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And prayer is very important. Because in prayer you come alive to God. And the presence of God is what prayer is all about. Unveiling the presence of God. Unveiling the reality of His name. And you and I need to do that. So prayer is where you talk to God the day. Talk to God to be with you. Talk to God to be with you in the unknowns of that day. To enable you to overcome obstacles. To enable you to overcome opponents. To enable you to stand strong when everything is around you that's going wrong. And as you do that day by day by day, you will begin to see that God answers prayer in that day. And you will begin to see that God actually works, and people give you favor. And people do things for you that you never saw before. That God opens doors for you, and He does things beyond what you really thought should be done. That suddenly as you open your mouth, God opens to you a new thought and a new door is opened. And in that process you realize that you are actually living by God and your life is being expanded. Your capacities are being expanded. Your spheres of influence are being expanded because now this is God coming through. This is God overshadowing you. This is God coming through your life. This is not just you muddling around. You trying to make the best for the day. You trying to coerce people to do things. And you find that God can give you favor with your colleagues who live in different countries and work in different countries. God has got no borders because God is omnipresent. And then you begin to understand, why did that guy do that for me? Why did he call me at that time and actually remind me of something that I had forgotten? Because God is at work. And this is not just you with your time management techniques. And this is not just you thinking about the two or three or five things that you can remember at one time. This is God, and He knows all things past, present, and future right now. Right? That He is in your career right now, and He knows exactly where you're going to be in 10 years' time. It is not some theory that where you're going to stand in 10 years' time. God knows exactly where He's going to take you in 10 years' time. He knows the outcomes of every option and every choice that you will make all of your life. And you realize that even if you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, there is a sense of certainty alive in your heart. God will take me through. Whether I know it or I don't know it, whether I really heard Him or I didn't hear Him, doesn't matter. Whether I fall on my face or not, I will still be picked up and be put together and we will walk again. Because God cannot fail. I can fail. I can do things and I can make a mess of things, but it's all right. God will teach you the lesson and say, let's go from here. Let's go from here and let's discover what else I have for you. Because I'm God. I'm not limited by your failures. I'm not limited by your situations. I'm not limited by the economy of this country. I'm not limited by the economy of the world. I'm not limited by the color of your skin. I'm not limited by your caste or which part of society you come from. I am unlimited. I am God. I knew you before your unformed substance. Isn't that give you a sense of confidence to live your life? And to simply muddle around, oh my goodness, I don't know which fellow is going to put a knife into my back today. All these fellows are standing before me and they are smiling at me. I mean, how many of these guys can I trust? Right? And if you knew God, it doesn't really matter. Right? You just do what is right and that's it. You do what is necessary and that's it, and God will do the rest. See, what's the difference between living your life with God and living by yourself? God can do the things you can't do. God can work in the hearts of your enemies. Right? And He can confuse them as well so that their plans against you will not work. Or He may allow those plans against you to come out so that He can strengthen you through the betrayal. So that you will learn to draw strength from God and you will realize that in spite of the fact that somebody betrays you, God still brings you through. And you realize that there is here a God who is bigger than all the failures and all the disasters of this world. You're living a new life. You're living a different life. You're walking to a different beat. You are unfazed because you are never tensed up because God is in charge. How would you like to be a professional on that basis? How would you like to be a businessman on that basis? How would you like to be a housewife on that basis? And have God give you favor with that kid who can sometimes drive you up the wall? Yeah? So you see, prayer is a skill. You need to pray and you need to know how to pray. Right? And being able to pray is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of success and failure. It's a matter of wisdom and stupidity. Right? It makes sense to pray. It's pointless getting frustrated and saying, oh my goodness, God takes too long. Because look at your last 10 years. When you did things your way, what happened in the last 10 years? Nothing happened in the last 10 years. You went around in circles chasing your own tail. Right? So now when God says, wait for 2 years, you say, my goodness, Lord, you don't make sense. When God says, I have to change you, you turn around and tell him, Lord, it does not make sense. But my son, you are the problem. And if I don't change you, the solution can't even begin. And you say, no, Lord, let me go and try it again. And you come back in 5 years, you're in a bigger mess than you ever were. Right? So when will you start understanding that the problem starts with you? Some people make it a career, a lifestyle to blame everybody else. The government is to blame, you know. The mother-in-law is to blame, the wife is to blame, the son is to blame, right? But they are not to blame. How long do you want to carry on like this? Right? With blinkers over your eyes. Right? Right? You run a ministry and everything is going wrong in the ministry. What's wrong with the ministry? Very simple. You are not with God. That's all. What's the solution to the ministry? Forget about the ministry and sit before God. Hello, forget about the blooming ministry and sit before God until you can get your bearings right. Whether you can find out whether you're going forward, backwards, upside, downside, what? Yeah? Oh my goodness, I will waste 2 years. You have wasted a lifetime so far. What is 2 years? Right? You know, we spend how many years chasing a degree? Have you got a PhD? How many years did you spend in school? 22 years? 20 years? 22 years? If you can spend time like that for things that don't last, what's wrong with spending time for 2 years while God gets you straightened out? Right? While God takes you through cold turkey. Right? And works out all the drugs that you have been taking right through your life. See, brethren, the time you spend with God is crucial to everything that you do. You see? And you must check out this time that you spend with God. Is it really productive time? And as you grow in God, you will begin to find out that the most productive part of the day is the time you spend with God. That's where the deals are made. Hello. That's where the breakthroughs come through. That's where the power is released. That's where the doors are opened. Right? Not because some guy you wangled some smart deal with, you wrote some fancy stuff and the guy was so impressed with it. That's kid stuff. But the real skills are honed in when you pray. I've come to a point where everything is based on intimacy with God. When I pray for somebody, it's not based on what's the problem with the guy. It's based on my intimacy with God. I always look at God. I don't look at the guy anymore. It's irrelevant. It's all a question of whether God will come through or not. That's all. He doesn't come through, nothing is going to change. Yeah? Are you with me? So when I preach, I depend on God for the message. No longer do I depend on my skills. Although I spent so many years getting an education. Right? I don't depend on that education anymore. I depend on Him. I don't want to deride that education. I learned a few things. I've learned a few lessons. But the sustainable things that I have today are all that I have in God. The skills that are with me today are the skills I have in God. What comforts me, what carries me is what I can receive and realize from God. That's all. When I look at my children and I look at their future, it is what is in God that matters. The rest doesn't matter because you cannot logically see what's going to happen to them in the future. All you have is what you have in God. All you have is that confidence you have in God. All you have is that intimacy that you know that He will not fail you. Otherwise, we live in a world that is going crazy, man. You don't have to be an economist to understand that. Most economists pretend that they have answers, but boy, we are in a big mess. Right? We are managing that mess, but the mess is there. Nobody is solving the mess. All they are finding is new ways to hide the mess. Right? All these intelligent guys who sit down and meet, G7, Q7, whatever it is, right? All they're trying to do is to hide the mess somewhere else. Create a new avenue where they can channel something and try and make something out of it so that they can buy some time. That's why the Bible says there will come a time when you can't even, when your day's wages will not buy you bread to eat for a meal. It is written. What does that tell you? That all the intelligence of man is ultimately going to result in a gigantic catastrophe. Thank God we won't be there at that time. But there will be foreshadowings of that catastrophe that we will experience in our lifetime. And so you must understand. You better know God so that one day when you have, all you have is one loaf of bread and you've got 10 families to feed because so many people are unemployed, you better pray and see that that loaf of bread multiplies. Otherwise, a lot of people are going to be hungry. Right? You better take that jar of cooking oil and you better pray on it so that that jar of cooking oil will keep on self-sustaining itself. God didn't put these things in the Bible to tell you some nice stories. Right? So that one day when you lose your axe, you will be able to throw a twig and the axe will come out of the water. Why did God put all those stories in the Bible? Just to tell you some stories? Right? That one day when you are in the lion's den, the Lord will shut those lions up. Yeah. So all those stories, right, are going to have their fulfillment in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just show you one verse to make you understand that. Okay, James chapter 5. Verse 16 onwards. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain and the earth produced its fruit. What is God trying to tell you by making that statement? Elijah was just like you. To tell you that what Elijah did is meant to be a reality in Christ Jesus. Because you have received someone who is infinitely greater than Elijah. You have Christ Jesus alive in you. You are born again in the seed of Christ. He's talking about prayer, guys. And he's telling you what the fervent prayer of a righteous man does. And he's addressing it through the life of Elijah. And he's telling you, you pray. Alright? So do you think you need to pray? Yes, you do. Right? Otherwise you'll have agents cheating you, stealing your passport. How many years you want to go through things like that? Telling you jobs are here, jobs are there. How long are you going to be cheated by people? There are all kinds of wicked people in the world who prey on the weak. Right? The moment they know you have a problem, they will come. Like devouring tigers. Right? To take away the little that you have. A people with no conscience. So when you understand that when problems arise, God tells you exactly that you are defenseless. So one of the reasons why you pray, brethren, is because you need that defense. You need God to go before you. But you cannot just pray when the crisis comes. You have to pray so that you have a relationship with this God, so that you will know whether He's answering you or not. Because if you don't have the relationship, the fear will just mask everything inside of you. You wouldn't be able to tell whether you're going or you're coming. See, in order to understand what God is doing in your life, the first prerequisite is you must have peace in your heart. Only in that peace can you hear the voice of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. From verse 7. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David after so long a time, just as has been said before, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. One of the basic things you must understand as a Christian, that for Christian maturity to take place, you must be able to rest in God. Only when you are at that peace, in that Sabbath rest, can you hear what God is saying to you. Otherwise, your emotions will overcome you. And that peace comes out of a relationship. He uses two names there. First name is David. David means the well-beloved. That means your relationship must result in God being the beloved of your heart. That beloved is Jesus Christ. Joshua means, or Yahushua, right? Means Yahweh saves, right? And he says that rest comes out of your salvation, that God is able to save. So this rest in God is dependent on two things, an intimacy and the fact that God is able to save. God saves. That when you are in the midst of a problem, you understand that God saves. So you see, it is not a 5-minute thing, guys. It's something that has to be built in a relationship, right? Over many years. So now, while you have the time, build that relationship. Don't wait for the mountains to come crumbling down and then you say, "Oh God, I'm going to be covered in an avalanche. Can you help me? Are you there, Lord?" Then the pastor says, "Brother, you have to hear the word of God." My goodness, it's a bit hard to hear word of God when your world is crashing down on you. Amen? So we need to understand that the world is going to see these kind of things. And as Christians, you and I are called to be able to hear the word of God at those times of crisis. You're going to be in different parts of the world. You're going to be in different communities of people. There must be someone who is able to say, "I can hear the word of God. Stand still. Or let's go this way." Are you with me? So this personal time with God is the most important time of everything in your life. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. So this personal time is when you realize your Passover in the Lord. And it's a growth process, okay? So let's turn to the communion passage. Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Praise the Lord. And that's where this Passover is supposed to enable you to understand that you are seated with Christ. To know that. That you have a place in him. In your own heart, you know that. That live or die, that place with Him is there. That's how the early church was able to overcome all of that persecution against them. Because they knew, live or die, I am with the Lord. And he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now at this point in time, for Jesus to be able to say with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now who will have fervent desire when he is going to suffer? But you see, Jesus has walked with the Lord for 33 years now. And in those 33 years, he has built a relationship with his God. And his relationship with his God is so strong that in this time when he knows he is going to be nailed, he knows he is going to have his back torn, when he knows that he is going to be humiliated, when he knows he is going to suffer, he is able to say with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Are you listening, brethren? So Jesus is the David and the Joshua that we all need. Yeah? See, God is not asking us to walk in that reality in our own strength. He's asking us to receive and realize what Jesus has done for us. So why do you read the Bible? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Why do you pray? Because prayer in Jesus Christ is answered. Anything you ask in my name, it will be done for you, it will be given to you. Amen? And that reality is a Passover. It's not of this world, it's not of the systems of this world, it is not of the intelligence of this world, it's not of the organizations of this world, it is not of the intellect of this world, it's not of the abilities of this world. This Passover is the work of God. Praise the Lord. This Passover is the work of God. Where? Inside of you. So in verse 17 he says, for I say to you, this Passover will be fulfilled. Where will it be fulfilled? In you and in us. In you, in me, and amongst us. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Alright, how is this Passover going to be fulfilled? In the David who loves us and gave himself for us. In the Joshua who saves us in his blood. So the Bible addresses Jesus Christ as the Son of David. Now the most profound blessings in the Bible are hidden in that name called David. David, I'm not just talking about King David. I'm talking about the promises that the true David will come and fulfill. Now Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that position of being a man after God's own heart. David foreshadowed that very imperfectly. But Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. Joshua took his people into a new land and they were unable to take that land. But this Joshua, Yehoshua, or Yeshua, is one who will take his people into this Passover and he will see those promises manifested in those who are members of his body. You listening? Right? Through his faith and his love. So when we read and we ask God to teach us and to train us and to equip us, it is because that in the faith and love of Jesus we are doing this, that it is all possible. That no matter how weak we are, or what kind of backgrounds we have come from, or what kind of foolish things we have done in our lives, that God will succeed because the faith and love of Jesus is imperishable. The Bible says all things in heaven and on earth will be reconciled in him. Which means that his faith and his love is in such a propensity that it can reconcile all things in heaven and on earth. All things. Colossians 1:17 says that all things hold together in him, and he is before all things. Which means that in his faith and in his love, everything that God has will come through that. Praise the Lord. So this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus who is our Lord, who fervently desired to eat this Passover with us, says to us in verse 16, "For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Where is the kingdom of God? It is in us, it is amongst us. So this is very personal. And every time you sit down with the Lord, you're partaking of this Passover. You're celebrating this Passover in your quiet time, listening to his word, praying him as God into your life, and then seeing your life being unveiled in his strength. See, God is your provider. He is by name your provider. There's nothing wrong in asking God to come through in your life. It is acknowledging him for who he is. God is your shepherd, Yahweh Rohai. He expects to lead you. He's supposed to lead you. He is by name the one who leads you. There's nothing wrong in asking him to lead you through the minefield of this world that we live in. Yahweh Rophe, there's nothing wrong in asking this God to heal you. Yahweh Nisi, you have a battle to fight. How many battles on how many fronts do we fight? Yet he is Yahweh Nisi, the Lord God who is the banner over our life. Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who is our sanctifier, he will make you holy. There's nothing wrong in you asking God, in spite of being a sinner, I want to be holy. There's nothing wrong. There is no contradiction in that fact, in that prayer request. I want to be holy, Lord, even though I'm a sinner. There is no contradiction in that fact, because God says, by name I am your sanctifier. I am the one who makes you holy. Yahweh Shalom, God my peace. Right? There's nothing wrong for you to understand that there is going to be peace in spite of the fact that your world is crashing around you. There is no contradiction there. God is still your peace. And when the crashing and all is finished, you will find that God has brought something forth. Sometimes the crashing is there so that those things that are wrong in our lives will also crash with that, so that there will be a new beginning. For us, it's a terrifying thing. But brethren, sin is a curse. It will destroy you. So there is a time when we have to get out of it. Yahweh Sitkanu, I am your righteousness. I will lead you in my righteousness. And the righteousness of God is made manifest in us in the faith and love of Jesus. And if you and I can receive of the faith and love of Jesus, we can do anything. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yahweh Shammah, he's there, the ever-present one. Nobody can remove him from my life. Yes, I have failed him. Countless times I have failed him. Yet he is always there. Nobody can take him away from me. Even my own stupidity can't take me away from him, or take him away from me. Because he is who he is. He cannot deny himself. He is there. He is the omniscient, omnipresent God. He is there. He is the all-powerful God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves." What is that cup? His witness. The witness that he perfected on the cross. A witness in blood, water, and spirit. That cup symbolizes that witness. And he says, take it and share it. You need to receive it, and you need to share it, because somebody else needs it too. Right? Because we live in a world of evil, and we need to be bringers of good tidings. Right? We just cannot keep it to ourselves. So you have a ministry. And that ministry is to declare this Passover. But you have to discover this Passover in your life. You have to see the victory of Jesus manifest in your life. You cannot do this by make-believe, brethren. That's why faith has an evidence. Faith is not make-believe. The Bible doesn't say that faith is just some wishful theological nonsense, right? Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence, guys. And that evidence is unshakable because the substance is of Him. So keep your heart on the Lord. Don't shake it. Don't turn it to something else. Alright, so as you keep your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, as you go through difficult situations, even if you don't know what the dickens is happening, even if you don't know whether you're going forth or you're going forward or going backwards, or whether you're going round in circles, just keep your hope on the Lord Jesus and He will bring you through that. And He will have built inside of you the substance of a faith that will build you to a new tomorrow. Brethren, it's time for us to fight, guys. You can't just sit down there, roll over and be killed. Alright. Come on, it's time for us to find the courage of the lion and the lamb. It's time for us to fight. It's time for us to kick the devil, man. Come on, young people. You need to be a different generation. Hello, there's more to just partying your nights away. Hello, you got to do something. You got to bring something in a new way to a world that is in real trouble. God means to do a new work in your life. You parents, bring up your children so that they will be warriors, not cowards, running into the comforts of the world. Don't just simply give them everything they want. Let them learn things the hard way. Don't spoil them. Because they are called to be warriors for Christ. That's their generation. They're going to be called to fight. Don't mollycoddle them. You know, the more comforts we have in our life, the weaker we become. We grow up in our air-conditioned rooms and we can't take the heat. Hello. Right, we drive in a nice big car and we can't take the bus anymore. Hello, you think you're becoming stronger? Your universe is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Soon you will have to live in a sanitized environment because any germ will kill you. That's why the Bible talks about overcomers. That's why when God blesses you, He blesses you in the reality of you and I being overcomers. Not mollycoddle babies with feeding bottles in our mouth. So when God takes you through tough things and says, pass those exams that you have been failing, it is because He wants you to be toughened up, to find the faith to overcome the failures of the past. Don't run away from the problem. Because we are at war. Make no mistake about that. We are at war. The enemy seeks to kill you. And running into a comfort zone is about the most stupid thing you can do. Because it's a make-believe world where people don't do anything anymore. They retire in comfort zones. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. He is the true vine, we are the branches, the fruit of the vine come off the branches, and we are those branches. Wine, when you crush the wine, it becomes... When you crush the vine, the fruit of the vine, it becomes wine, and wine represents new life. Can somebody receive new life through you? That's what it's all about. Amen? It's not coming to church and playing church and fulfilling a religious obligation. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are each members of his body. Amen. So as living members of His body, you need to spend that time with Him every day. The best time to spend time with the Lord is early morning, when you're fresh, before you have started anything, before you have written anything on that writing pad of that day. That's when it's best to spend time with the Lord. Go and read the Psalms. I will seek thy face in the morning. There's a reason for that, because prophetically the morning represents a beginning. So get God into the picture before you begin. So don't develop lifestyles where you have long nights and then explain it that this is my what? Biosystem. Is it what system? This is my biological clock. You train that clock. You were not born like that. Right? So we have to retrain that clock. Set it right. Right? So sitting down and talking about sweet nothings until 2 a.m. in the morning is stupidity. Right? Go to bed early so that you will have enough sleep and get up in the morning so that the Lord can do something with you. Necessary. And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Every blessing in God is poured out in the blood of Jesus. What God is giving you is not something that was given on someone sitting on a nice throne and, you know, and passing out some edicts. No, the King came and He died for you. He shed His blood for you. Go back and read those passages on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He did that for you. He did that for me. And we can't even come to church on time. We've got no time. He came and He lived 33 years with one purpose, to manifest a testimony that will bring forth our lives. Every moment of those 33 years He lived in a life that didn't make any mistakes. As He chose the face of God, because He had to manifest that witness through the cross in perfection. And we can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's too difficult for us. We can't make the time to train ourselves for ministry. But we love Him. Why? When the music is nice, we can love anybody. But when the living comes, that's when the love disappears. So do you have the guts to love Jesus Christ or not? He had the guts to love you and me. He had the guts to live a life perfect and complete so that you and I could live. And He did that although He had all power at His hands. He needn't have gone through the cross. But He did it only for you and me. So how do we reward Him? Yes, I know we are weak. I know we have flesh. But are we willing to deal with it or not? That's the question. So get up and ask Him to deal with it. Pray that He will deal with your flesh. Yes, I know you are frightened. I know that you're worried. I know that you have fears. I know you don't have the determination. I have those problems too. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. All things. Don't you want to check it out? That all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. He went to the cross to give you that reality. It's a Passover. It is manifested grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Yet we don't want it. So many of us are just willing to be just weak, and we just muddle around every day, doing whatever we want to do. Then explaining it, oh my goodness, I have a very busy lifestyle. Make the time. Make the time and see how God will bless your life. Praise the Lord. The biggest investment you can make, the best investment you can make, is an investment in Jesus Christ, because the investment in Jesus Christ pays dividends forever. And that investment stream will grow, because if you pick one person and you plant the seed of Christ in that person, of course you can't plant that seed, it comes by the grace of God. But if you touch one person's life, those dividends that will flow through that person's life too will accrue to you. That's why it makes sense to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Nothing makes more sense, you know. Not trying to get returns whether the stock market goes up today or it comes down tomorrow morning, and trying to predict which way it goes. Airy-fairy stuff, you know, listening to some jokers who don't know whether they're coming or going and pretending that they are experts. You want to live like that? Come on, guys. But here is an investment, is sure dividends, 100% dividends. Right? The word of God will bear fruit in you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What does 30-fold represent? 30 times 100%, guys. What does 100%, 100-fold represent? 100 times 100%. Where do you have such investment?